Good evening. We continue with our series on the book of Psalms and lessons from the book of Psalms. And today, our subject is a call to thanksgiving. And our psalm is Psalm 116. I always, since I was a boy, and my father used to say, my mom's, you need to give thanks all the time. And for me, this is something that is precious, just to give thanks for everything. And it's nice when we appreciate the things that the Lord gives us, the things that we receive. One of the greatest Christian virtues is thanksgiving. And today we are going to read this psalm, which is about thanksgiving. And I'm going to read some verses from this psalm, Psalm 116. I'm going to read from the NIV. And the Bible says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, and as we spend the next half an hour or so, Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us, Lord. Father, may your Holy Spirit help us to hear your voice. And Father, we confess that we need you, Lord. So, Father, bless our time together, Lord, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I says, one of the greatest Christian virtues is thanksgiving. Our grateful expressions of thanks to God as we acknowledge him as the source of all the blessings. Everything we receive comes from him. Today we will consider a psalm, Psalm 116. This is a thanksgiving psalm. And it is not certain whether David wrote this psalm upon any particular occasion or upon general review of the things God has given him. We don't know. Psalm 116 praises God for the personal triumph. Psalm 116 praises the Lord for the things he has done. And here we have the picture that the author of this psalm has suffered a severe illness. We don't know, but his life has been endangered. We are told that he prayed with faith. He prayed with faith against all the odds. And this psalm is a glorious shout of thanksgiving. Thank you, he says, because you were with me when I was about to die. This is the context of this psalm. So the psalmist declared, because of God's grace, he will keep on praising God. And he finished, praise the Lord. It's interesting that, you know, I don't know you. When I was in America, one day I went to visit, a church, and they said, you will see what happened. And that was a black church. And in the moment I entered to the church, and I said, praise the Lord! And then again, praise the Lord! And that after a while, I ended up shouting, praise the Lord! But it's so wonderful, isn't it? When you go into the move of thanksgiving and praise, and it's contagious. So for me, it was easy when I was helping a Pentecostal church in West London, because I was used to that. But this is the picture here. The psalmist, you know, in a time when his heart sound the praise of awareness, and he says, praise the Lord. But here we have a call to thanksgiving. The psalmist says, I'm going to just touch some of the verses, not the whole psalm, because there's so much here and we don't have time. But he says here, I will take the cup of salvation. Now, we all have problems. And maybe you go to church because you are looking, you need a job, and you pray. Your health is not well, and we pray. You are a student, and you pray that the Lord will help you to pass the exams, to prepare your thesis and a project. But I selected these verses because these verses talk about the most important thing in life. I preached this week on a funeral. We took a funeral, and I preached on Psalm 23. And there is a fact that all we are going to die one day. Somebody here is not going to die? We are going to die. I'm going to die. I don't know when. Maybe tonight, tomorrow. I don't know. Yes, okay. The thing is that death is unavoidable. We all have a time, isn't it? And that's what the Bible says. We are going to die. We are going to face judgment. The second thing is that death is unpredictable. I cannot prepare like Andrew is preparing my death. I don't know when I'm going to die, is it? But that's something that we are sure about it. And death is impartial. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter. But we have this wonderful hope. The psalmist says, he's talking about that problem. Maybe he was facing an illness, but now he's talking that problem that we all are going to face. And he says, I will take the cup of salvation. You know, in the Jewish tradition, the pious Jews have sometimes a cup of blessings. They call it a cup of blessings. At their private meals, which the master of the family drank it. And he drank it first, and then with thanksgivings to God, and all at his table drank with him. That was the kind of the cup of blessings. But some understand that this was not the cup that he will present to God, but this is the cup that God will put into his hands. It is a means of spiritual health. The word of these psalms were prophetically fulfilled when Jesus met with his disciples. These are the words that we say this morning. You know, and from Matthew 26, this is Jesus eating with his disciples. He says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink it from the fruit of the vine. From now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. They sang a hymn and went, this is the cup of salvation. Christ instigated a new covenant, fulfilling the old covenant and set it aside. This does not suggest that trials are not going to be there. We say that death is unavoidable, death is unpredictable, death is impartial, but we have this good shepherd who will walk with us. In goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days. And we have this promise that we will dwell in the house of the Lord. The psalmist says here, I will take the cup of salvation. Are you going to take the gifts of salvation? Our biggest problem, as I said, is sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The cup of salvation is Jesus. Now, we read this morning, You remember the verse? Shall we say it again? And we sang a song today. Shall we say it together? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This was the reason Jesus came here. Shall we read it? For this. The Son of Man didn't come for us to be nice neighbors, to be nice parents, to be good citizens. No, he came to save us. The loss. And we said that the loss is not somebody who is condemned, who is gloomy. No, it's somebody who is not in the right place. And the psalmist is saying, I will take. The first thing we need to do, if we want to praise the Lord, if we really want to be thankful, is to take the cup of salvation. When we don't take seriously the gospel, we are saying, okay, the Son of God came, and that's okay, and I heard the story. That's the kind of approach we are having. So we cannot sincerely say, God, we thank you for you for sending your Son to die for our sins. If we don't accept him, if we don't obey him, if we don't keep his commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I heard that Abby was saying about revival. I think revival will come. Listen to this. When every Christian in this country, we keep Jesus' commandments, boom, the church will be full. That's it. That's it. That is revival. It's not when every Christian is going just to fulfill liturgies and to do good works. When we keep Jesus' commands, revival is around the corner. There will not be places in churches. They will be queuing up. But you know what? I have to keep Jesus' commandments. I hope my family will keep Jesus' commandments. I hope the members of the church and young leading keep Jesus' commandments. That's revival. But if we start challenging the word of God, you know what? Yes, that's beautiful. No, don't do it. The church will be closed more and more if we don't take the cup of salvation as it is. Is your Lord Jesus who was crucified on that cross? He died for you and for me. We are just to keep his commandments. Now the second thing here, he says, the psalmist, verse 14, he said, I will pay my vows. I will pay them. The psalmist suggests in the presence of God people, today is the day of the Lord. We come to this place and we pray. And then in the Bible, we read in Psalm 50, verse 14, says, sacrifice thanks offering to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High. This was something that they were used to do in the past. They used to go to the temple, you know, to fulfill their vows in the presence of the congregation. But you know, there is a difference between Psalm 50, verse 14, to the verses before. If we read the verses before, verses 8 to 13, I'm reading from Psalm 50. He says, this is the Lord speaking. He said, I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull, for you shall choose from your stall of goats, from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the word is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You know, the picture is they were bringing the sacrifices. And then if they were poor, they will bring a small animals to be sacrificed. If they have more money, they will bring a sheep or maybe a bull and then a cow. They will do it. But the Lord says, I don't want that. The picture for us is that we go to church every Sunday, or maybe most Sunday. We have been involved in churches. We have been ministers. We have been deacons. We have been elders. We bring our service. The Lord said, I don't want that. That is good. Yes, we need deacons. We need elders. We need, you know, musicians. God's desire is a spiritual worship from our heart. Jesus is talking to the woman of the well. The woman said, well, we worship there. This is the way we should worship. It seems to me like sometimes we have these theological arguments going on. And Jesus says, the true worshipers will worship me in what? In spirit and in truth. Revival. When we worship God in spirit and in truth. And the third picture the psalmist brings is the next verse. It says, I will assume the role of the servant. O Lord, truly I am your servant. The psalmist writes, when we assume the role as a servant, we are more and more like Jesus. I will take the cup of salvation. I will fulfill my vows. I will assume the role of the servant. The word minister means servant. The word deacon means servant. The New Testament declares that all Christians, we are called to be ministers. That is the essence of belonging to a Baptist church. That you are a minister, you are a priest. You are a priest to your children. You are a priest to your grandchildren, to your neighbors, to your fellow students, to your fellow workers. When you receive the cup of salvation, you fulfill your vows, you become a servant. The Son of God, the Son of Man, came not to minister, but to minister. Let us follow Jesus' example. Let us translate our thanksgiving into a thanks living. Because our Lord deserves all the glory from us. I'm going to finish our time together this evening, and I'm going to have a time of thanksgiving. It's a call to thanksgiving. You know what we are going to do? Is that let's consider the generous blessings we have received from the Lord. Have you been blessed? Yes, we struggle with things, but we are going to spend some time remembering those things, okay? So what we're going to do is this. This is what sometimes I will imagine the Israelites did. You know, the Psalms sometimes have the word Selah at the end. That Selah, that means what? Think about it. Quiet. Reflection. So, we are going to read together Psalm 68, verse 19, and then we are going to be in silence for a moment, and I'm going to tell you why what is it that we're going to give thanks to the Lord. Is that okay? And because sometimes, have you realized that sometimes somebody came today, and she was blessed with something, and I says, oh, we put the prayer request there outside, but we were talking the other day, not many people put thank you. So I said to this person, don't forget to say thank you. So Magnus could put it on the, and that was wonderful because the Lord has been with this person. I said, I want to say thank you. So now, what we are going to do, let's read together, and then we are going to consider a few things. We are going to have a time of silence. If you want to pray, pray. As I read some of the things, let's say thank you. Let's read together this verse, Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed. I invite you to think. Consider the daily material blessings we enjoy. Let me read this and then maybe one or two people lead us in prayer. Think the blessings of your home. Most of us live in warm houses, warm homes that enjoy decent, if not good, insulation. Compared with the people living even in this land 100 years ago, how cold they were. The peasant class lived in crack houses which had a wooden frame onto which was plaster. Imagine those things. It was cold, no heating. You are cold and you go to the thermostat. That's it. Consider your home. Consider your home. Consider the clothing you wear. God has blessed us with what we wear. In the past, in this country, the poor people only had one clothes, one shirt, trousers, sometimes some socks. Consider. Think of the clothing you wear. Most of us take for granted the multiple changes of clothing that we own. Poor people in this country, in many countries, they only have one set of clothing. Men wore coarse tunics and long stockings of leggings. Women wore long dresses, and stockings. And consider the food you enjoy. You go to Morrison's, Sainsbury's. If you are posh, you go to White Rose. You take it. Let's spend a moment in silence and maybe one or two people lead us in prayer to say thank you for this thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for education. Thank you for the blessings that we have colleges and schools and universities. There are many people that are unable to have access to that. And we thank you. We pray your blessing upon those who are about to start a new academic year. So, Father, thank you for education, because help us to gain knowledge. And Father, we pray that we will be able to be aware of your presence in our lives and to use that knowledge for your glory. Amen. Let us read again, as we give thanks, Psalm 68, verse 19, before we give thanks for another thing. Blessed be the I want you to consider the daily spiritual blessings before we finish this evening. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now listen. Let's think about the access to the written word of God. Many of us have Bibles, and sometimes they look so dusty and overlooked. Let me read some facts before we have a time of thanksgiving. You see, statistics show in the past 10 years, 250 million copies of the Bible have been sold. The Harry Potter series, you remember? Not counting, they have 325 million copies over the 10 years. There is competition. One Roman emperor, Diocletian, he passed a law and made illegal to possess a Bible. The freedom we read, we have the Bible in English. You know, in order to have this Bible that you are reading in English, many people die. It was illegal to read the Bible. Only the clergy can do it. And when I was living in Essex, Brentwood has this tree where William Hunter died. He was burned. Every time I next to that tree, I knew that I have to preach from this Bible because many people die. As it's written, as you receive it, why not to give thanks for that? And then we have in the internet, we have the freedom. You know, until 1870, it was illegal to possess a Bible in Italy. 1870. I was in Switzerland the year before, visiting my cousin. She was married to a Swiss guy, and they have a Bible from the 1500s. In the family, and they look after the Bible for generations in French because it was illegal. And sometimes we have our Bible and we don't realize how many people pay a price. I invite you to think about that as we say thank you for the spiritual blessings. We have the right of corporate assembly of worship. And sometimes we take it for granted. Who knows? Maybe in 10 years' time here, we will not be allowed to gather like this. Around the world, in repressive regimes, in Islamic countries, as well as in Western countries that had bowed to many things, there is no freedom. Right now, our brothers and sisters in China, churches are being closed. Because they are growing so much. Shall we spend a moment giving thanks for the access we have to this book, for the right to have to worship in freedom? What will happen if we have a Sharia law, for example, in a few years' time here? We'll not be able to do this. Let us give thanks to the Lord, shall we? Consider the daily spiritual blessings. Let us pray and give thanks. Shall we say the sound verse again? Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. There is a call to thanksgiving. No mere words, but a call for us to take the cup of salvation, to surrender our lives to Jesus completely. A call to pay our vows. We fail every day. But in His mercy, the Good Shepherd lifts us up and helps us to carry on, to be His servant. May the Lord help us this week to remember that we need to receive the cup of salvation. We need to fulfill our vows. And when we fail, we have a Savior to restore us, to cleanse us, to renew us, so we can be His servant for His glory. Amen.